I mean, listen, we're talking about practice.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
This is KETR's Locker Room, your sports podcast for Northeast Texas. Each week, we look at the biggest headlines in sports and highlight local sports stories. Here's your hosts.
All right, this is KETR's Locker Room for Wednesday, January 15th. Cooper Welch and Jordan Davis here in the studio, and we've got a special guest today. You said your name was Jade Walker, right?
Jacob Walker.
Jacob Walker. There we go. And you are what?
I'm the athletics compliance assistant in the athletic department.
All right. Well, we'll talk to Jacob here for a little bit, and we'll also spitball a little bit back and forth about basketball games tonight and coming up this weekend. And we'll talk some just general sports. The Mavs are doing okay. The Stars are doing okay. The Cowboys are out of the playoffs, but, you know, we'll talk about that too. Anyway, Jacob, just tell us, what does your job do? What is it about?
Well, I mainly assist with compliance areas, which is just the NCAA rules. Mm-hmm. The main part of my job would probably be education and monitoring. Basically, we just educate the student athletes and anyone involved in athletics on NCAA rules so that we don't have any infractions. So that's mainly what my job is.
Okay. Do you face any challenges that no one else in other positions faces on a day-to-day basis?
Definitely the complexity of the rules, I'd say, is one of the main challenges. Just there's so many of them, and sometimes there's gray area, and sometimes that's what compliance professionals, they live in the gray area. So it's just making sure you don't cross over mm-hmm. that line. So
cool.
That's what I would say is the biggest challenge.
All right. How big is the rule book that you have to look through?
Well, luckily, Division II is a lot smaller than Division I, but it's probably seven chapters, and each one of them is a lot. And you don't have the rule book memorized, but, I mean, I go back to it every day and look into it mm-hmm. and just if we have any questions. So it's not something you have memorized, or because there's issues that arise every day that you have to go back and dig into the book and find the answer.
All right. Jordan, you have any questions for him?
About the position, a lot of people may not know about the position, but can you tell us, like, the most exciting part about your position? Because I know you do a lot with the school, but there's might be other perks about the job that many people may not know about. Can you talk about that?
I'd say it's just getting to know our student athletes and helping them, because that's what we're here for, is to help them grow and to graduate and go on to have a successful life after college. So that would be probably one of the best parts of the job. And then also finding ways around, not just saying no, but finding ways where you can, not necessarily break the rules, but just finding ways around where you can find other solutions to help the student athletes out. So I'd say that's the best part of the job.
What eventually would you like to do when you graduate from college? I know you said something with education, but can you give us like a more descriptive what you want to do with your life?
Actually, I want to stay in college athletics and stay in compliance. I really have a passion for it, and I really enjoy what I do day in and day out. So I would really like to stay in the college athletics and compliance side.
How long have you been with compliance, with the athletic department?
I've been working, I interned in the fall of 2012 for my master's degree, and then I've just been with them for probably a year and a half now. So
cool. All right.
Would you eventually want to move up to Division I?
I do want to move up to Division I. It's, like I said, it's kind of a different rules, sometimes the same concepts, but there's definitely more rules in Division I. But I do eventually want to move up to Division I athletics.
All right. Is there any other long-term goals, like maybe be a conference commissioner or something like that?
Not necessarily conference commissioner, but just just want to learn something new every day, so, and just grow and so I don't know that there's necessarily just a position that I have a goal for, but just to learn something new every day and wherever mm-hmm. that takes me. So.
All right. Is there any, besides college athletics, like maybe professional athletics or high school sports that you'd want to do?
I've actually worked in professional sports before with the Arena Football League team in Dallas. It they no longer exist, but they were the Dallas Vigilantes.
Mm-hmm.
I sold tickets for them for a season and decided to go back to school and get my master's. So I've done kind of the professional sports, and I've also worked with the Frisco Rough Riders, which is the minor league baseball team and ticket mm-hmm. sales. So I've kind of dibble-dabbed in the professional sports, but I really enjoy the college athletics probably a little bit more.
Right. So compliance so far is your favorite job?
Definitely. And I do help out with other areas, but mainly my job is the compliance side. So.
All right. Not that we want to name any names here, but is there been a certain athlete here and there that has caused you guys more problems than others?
I mean, all of our athletes are great people, so I mean, I don't. Mm-hmm. None of them really causing too many headaches. I mean, I think they're all great. So.
Good answer. All right. Another question I wanted to ask you. If you were in the situation of, say, the Cam Newton scandal when they said that he'd gotten paid, or any other of these scandals with Johnny Manziel or anything like that, would you have handled anything differently than the compliance guys did at those schools?
Well, usually, like in those cases, the NCAA actually comes in and runs the investigation.
Okay.
And most people probably don't realize that the compliance people really aren't investigating those major violations. But so is the NCAA coming in and kind of investigating. And so I don't know that there's really anything different other than just educate people on those situations. Mm-hmm. And I believe, like, Johnny Manziel actually had to get up and speak in front of his team and tell him what he learned from the situation, and that's kind of what we do if we have any violations, is just try to learn from them so that they don't ever happen again.
Right. Now, speaking of Johnny Manziel and Cam Newton and all that, do you think that college athletes should be paid? Because that's a huge debate right now with the rules.
I mean, I eventually would like to see it someday go to that, but right now, I don't see how it's possible right now.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, this week is the NCAA convention is where they vote on different rules, changes that are coming to college athletics. So I don't think we're quite ready for that. But eventually I would like to see some kind of stipend system for student athletes, not just necessarily thousands of dollars, but just a little stipend, though.
All right. Well, that'll do it for this part of KETR's Locker Room, unless Jordan has some more questions for you.
I've heard everything. I mean, I've seen him work around and stuff. I mean, his job does look very, very complicated. So, hey, hats off to him, because I know I wouldn't do this job.
Right.
I don't have the patience for it. So, hey, shout outs to him.
All right. Well, we'll take a quick break and then come back and talk about Dallas sports, college athletics, a lot of good recent hires in college football. And we didn't talk about the Rangers and all their offseason moves yet, so we got to talk about
them
as well.
Any?
Oh, yeah. Two big ones. Anyway, this is KETR's Locker Room. All right, we're back here on KETR's Locker Room. Cooper Welch, Jordan Davis, and Jacob Walker, our special guest today. So, since Jacob has some experience with the Frisco Rough Riders and ipso facto with the Texas Rangers, we're going to start with the Texas Rangers today and talk about their recent additions to the team, Shin Shu-Chu and Prince Fielder. Now, I really want to ask you about the acquisition of Prince Fielder, because it cost us Ian Kinsler, and it moved Profar, Jurickson Profar, to second base. So you probably saw Jurickson a little bit with your time at the Rough Riders, right? Or was that
he
before?
He actually wasn't there at the time.
Okay.
He was still, I think he's only 20 right now, so yeah. I think he wasn't around quite yet.
Okay. Well, then I'll skip that question. But I do want to ask you, what do you think it's going to do to the Rangers losing Kinsler and moving Profar to second base and Prince Fielder going to first?
I mean, I like Prince Fielder, mm-hmm. And I think it's definitely going to help short term. My only concern is the long term, basically, because baseball contracts are guaranteed. So I'm just wondering what Prince Fielder will be like in 5 years, mm-hmm. whenever he still has that big contract. So that's my only concern about Prince Fielder.
All right, Jordan, what do you think about Prince?
I mean, Prince is, if he plays like he played in Detroit when he first got to Detroit, the Rangers will be good. Because one of the Rangers' problems is they need hitting. Like, they need more homers. Like, desperately more homers. Mm-hmm. The most home runs came against the White Sox. The White Sox. Out of all the teams in the Major League Baseball, the most home runs the Rangers hit was against the White Sox. Mm-hmm. And that only came sporadically out of the blue. You saw the games, late heroics. So they definitely needed power. But one of the main things the Rangers need to fix is the pitching, because they can't put everything on Darvish. They need another pitcher to come in and take so much off of him, because he has too much pressure on his shoulders.
Right. Well, you mentioned pitching, and we saw that Derek Holland hurt his knee as well, falling down the stairs. Got a little bit of suspicion maybe that wasn't all that was going on there. But let's talk pitching. What do we need? How do we fix it? Maybe go for Tanaka. What's the answer here?
Well, it was one dude that everybody kept trying to get, but apparently Japanese teams was like, no. So I suggest the Rangers always try to go after somebody low market. They don't try to go after too many big-name pitchers. They go for, like, big-name hitters and, like, you know, subpar pitchers. But I think they need to go to Tampa Bay and try to get some of Tampa Bay's pitchers, at least one of them, because, like, they have, like, very, very strong pitching every year.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, somebody like a David Price or somebody, if I mean, they're not giving them up, but, like, you know, somebody in that rotation can definitely help them out. And go to the National League and try to find a pitcher. You see the National League killed pitching pitchers, because AL is hitting and, you know, National League is pitching. You see the Dodgers gave Clayton $215 million. Get somebody from the National League, like somebody from the Pittsburgh Pirates or somebody. Give one of the Cardinals to give up one of their pitchers. They always tossing pitchers around. Get somebody that can throw more than a fastball, because that's all the Rangers pitchers can do is throw fastballs. They can't throw sliders, curves. They don't have no changeups. They need somebody that has a variety of pitching and not just a fast fastball.
Right. Jacob?
Yeah, I would definitely agree that they need to add some depth somewhere. Maybe I think they've got their ace in Yu Darvish, but maybe a number two or a number three at least until the All-Star break whenever Derek gets back. But because I don't know what you're going to get back out of Matt Harrison and Colby Lewis coming off of injuries, but I would definitely like some more depth as far as pitching.
Yeah. Well, what do you guys think about Jordan talked a little bit about Tanaka. He is actually looking for teams. He's negotiating right now. Do you think the Rangers have enough left to go after him?
I think he's going to do the smart thing and come to Boston.
Come to Boston.
That's what he needs to do, is come to Boston. All the pitchers from Japanese is come to Boston, because we're going to, you know, it's a better chance to win. I just don't see the Rangers. All Texas teams, you know, they always supposed to go after a certain player. They always get a player that nobody never heard of, or they go after somebody they really don't need. And I really feel like the Rangers are going to get a pitcher that really don't fit their style, but just like a big-name pitcher.
Like Matt Garza.
Yeah, oh, God, let's not talk about him, because he disappointed all the Ranger Nation. But they're going to get another pitcher like him. I honestly feel like it, because whoever is in that department, they just want big name headliners. They don't want like good players. So I honestly don't know about the Rangers. I just don't know.
Yeah, I think that they have the resources to go out and get him, but I don't necessarily know that they need to go out and get him. Questions about whether he's going to be like a Yu Darvish or like a Daisuke. And I just think that that's a big question mark if we don't know if he what he's going to be like over here once he gets into the major leagues over here. So I definitely think that they have the resources to go get him, but I don't know that I'd necessarily go after him, though, because he's going to cost a lot.
Right. All right. Well, we're still on the subject of pitchers, and you mentioned Clayton Kershaw. What do you guys think of him making $215 million over 7 years? He's a Highland Park native, so we can't talk about it because it's Texas. So what do you guys think?
It's the highest paid contract for a pitcher. So if he's getting this much money, he better win at least four or five more Cy Youngs. Like that's the only thing. He better win three or four World Series off top, because that's a lot of money to give just one person. And you got to think about it. The Dodgers, you know, they're not hesitant to spend money, but with that amount, it's like, why? Because more pitchers are going to start asking for more money. And baseball players are already rich. So, I mean, for that kind of money, he better produce. He better not be a Flacco of the Major League Baseball. That's all I know.
Well, I mean, Flacco did get one championship.
I think Kershaw is one of the elite pitchers, and obviously the Dodgers are rolling in money. Their ownership paid a pretty penny to buy the team, so money must be growing in trees out there in LA. So, I mean, if they've got it, I think he's definitely worth it if they've got it. So
right, all right. Well, let's move on to basketball, since that's the one that's really popular right now. First, let's talk about the ACC. Duke is down this year. North Carolina is down this year. NC State is down this year. Wake Forest is down this year. All four North Carolina teams, which is basketball heaven, well, besides Indiana, they're terrible. I mean, Jabari Parker's not that great. Most of North Carolina is not that great. So what's going on in the ACC?
Well, I'm a Tar Heel fan to the day I die, and what's wrong with the Tar Heels right now is they have limited experience. You know the guard PJ Harrison, he was supposed to play for the Tar Heels this year, but he ended up getting kicked off the team due to something suspicious with drugs or something. So he's actually in the NBDL, but for the most part, a lot of ACC teams are just not that good no more like they used to be. They're not that good no more like they used to be, and it's because more athletes are going to other conferences. Like when you have Coach Patino at Louisville, or you have Coach Boeheim at Syracuse, you have Hall of Fame coaches Bill Self at Kansas. You have more younger people tend to go after them type of coaches because they go to so many Final Fours. They go to so many championships, and you know some programs like Duke and North Carolina used to be people's top list. Now programs like Pittsburgh or Florida are like people's top list because of the generation now, I think. Because North Carolina, you know, had Michael Jordan, James Worthy, Vince Carter, and Duke had Grant Hill and everybody else. But I think these strong traditional powerhouses are now taking a decline, and like the slower conferences or the mediocre teams are on the rise because what coaches can offer athletes now, especially the new younger coaches. So I think that's the reason why the ACC is not as strong, because other conferences have gotten together and found a new way to recruit better talent.
Right. What do you think?
Well, I think Duke and definitely most of the ACC are struggling right now, but I believe at the end of the year you're going to see Duke in the NCAA tournament making a deep run. So I think Coach K is going to get that turnaround. I don't know about the rest of the ACC, but I truly believe in Coach K and Duke. I think they'll be there close to the end in the NCAA tournament. So,
all right. Well, let's talk about Texas basketball being back a little bit this year. There are 2-2 in the Big 12 conference so far, and they're 13-4, which is quite a bit better than last year's performance in the Big 12. What do you think Rick Barnes is doing this year that's different than last year?
He's letting them play. Last year he tried. You know, some coaches, they try to implement their system, but some athletes are just not meant for that system. And when these new athletes, especially with the 18, 19-year-olds that's coming, they're like 6'5", and they're big. So I think the main success of college coaches these days is letting these players play like they played in high school, so that way it's more comfortable for them to get adjusted to the game. Because when you go to the NBA, your game is going to completely turn around.
Yeah.
So I think in college what they try to do is try to stick to their strengths and then teach them, like, okay, you need to work on your left hand or anything. Like Julius Randle from Kentucky, like, he's a great player, but he can't go right. And, yeah, like, Coach Calipari often said, you know, he goes left. I let him go left because, I mean, he gets us points. But in practice, I don't allow him to go left. So, I mean, different techniques. And I think Rick Barnes, you know, he's a good enough coach to realize, okay, I have talented players, but what are their strengths? So I think that's what he's doing now.
All right.
Yeah, I think they're a really young team, and maybe they're maturing a little bit from last year. And I guess that's the way just college basketball is going right now. A lot of people are going one and done to the NBA, and you only get to see them 1 year. So I just think they're a young team, and hopefully they're going to mature a little bit better and continue just to grow.
All right. Well, I'm looking at the schedule right now, and their next game is against Iowa State. That's going to be on Saturday. Then they face Kansas State on January 21st, number 12 Baylor on January 25th. And by the way, ISU is number 8 in the nation right now. They're 14-2. And on February 1st, number 15, Kansas. So that's four very tough games right there. What do you think is a good indicator of them being ready for the NCAA tournament, going 3-1 in that, or 2-2, or what? What do you think is a good result from that schedule?
Well, with the rankings, the RPI rankings, mm-hmm. they need to try to go undefeated. But if they can't go undefeated, 3-1 definitely. Mm-hmm. Because against, especially they have Iowa State and Kansas. Those are two of the Big 12 strongest teams right now. Mm-hmm. And Iowa State is actually the highest ranked team in the Big 12. So if they can beat Iowa State, is it on the road?
No, it's in Austin.
Well, if they can beat Iowa State, period, that'll make their resume blossom. And mm-hmm. anytime you beat Kansas, that's always impressive on your resume. I think they need to go 3-1 to really make a serious run to the tournament.
Okay.
Yeah, I would love to see them go 4-0. I just don't know that's possible with that tough a schedule. Mm-hmm. 3-1 would be really good. I could even see them going 2-2 with that schedule. Three ranked teams, the Big 12 is tough.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if they can come out of it at least 2-2, maybe 3-1, I think that would definitely help them.
All right. Well, let's end the basketball discussion with a little bit of talk about the Dallas Mavericks. They are currently, I think, eighth in the West, but they're still there. The West is super tough this year, unlike the East, which is, you know, two teams are good and everyone else is terrible. Do you guys think that they'll make the playoffs this year?
I think they'll make the playoffs. I just don't know where they'll end up seed-wise. I think they'll probably mm-hmm. be in the bottom half of the pack, and so I don't know if they'll make a run in the playoffs, but I definitely think that they'll make the playoffs as a 6 or 7 or maybe even 8 seed.
Okay. Jordan?
I'm sorry, Mavericks fans. I really think the Timberwolves or the Suns are going to get that last 8 spot because I don't see enough firepower. I mean, the Mavericks are a good team, but they're too old. And I look at, like, some of their key pieces, like Jose Calderon, he's old. I look at Sean Marion, he's old. Mm-hmm. Dirk is getting up there. I mean, the only real scoring threat they have is Monte or Dirk.
Right.
And clearly Dirk has shown that he's, you know, he's kind of slipping. But, I mean, Dirk has ran his course. But, I mean, yeah. if they do get in, it's either a 7th or an 8th seed. But Phoenix is playing really, really good. Mm-hmm. And Minnesota is always 500 or right there. And I just think that it's going to come down to the later part of the season. I think one of the younger teams are going to get it.
Right. And then last question on the Mavericks. Would you guys rather they continue getting the 7th or 8th seed the rest of the time that Dirk's around, 1 or 2 seasons? What do you say, blow it up? Just tank while you still can tank, because they're talking about getting rid of the tanking rules, and try to get one of those high draft picks in this year's draft or next year or the year after that. What would you rather see?
With the NBA draft, it's always the lottery is tough, so I don't mm-hmm. know that you just tank. But I think you've just definitely got to get better pieces around Dirk. I really like Monte Ellis as a scorer, and his game is, I think, really improved since he came to the Mavericks. So I don't necessarily think you just give up on the season. Mm-hmm. And I even think Dirk is willing to take a pay cut to stay in Dallas. So I don't think you do that to him and throw away the rest of his career, basically. So I think you've just got to go out and acquire a few more pieces. Maybe they're just maybe 1 or 2 pieces away, I think, from being one of those contenders in the West. So I think you've just got to go out and spend the money and not just say and save it and say that you're waiting for the next summer when we know that hasn't worked in the past.
Right.
I say don't tank, because tanking leads you nowhere. Look at Cleveland. They've been tanking ever since LeBron left.
Yeah.
The number one pick, Anthony Bennett, you haven't heard about him. You've seen him play maybe 1 or 2 games.
He's one of the most disappointing picks.
Disappointing since Kwame Brown. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, tanking leads you nowhere. I honestly think they just need to stop being cheap and get a better defensive center. Like, they shouldn't ever let Tyson go. They shouldn't never let Jason Terry go. They had good pieces, but like all Dallas teams, they're stupid. So they have to find a way to keep Dirk there and happy. Monte's a good start, but I didn't agree with Jose Calderon at the point.
Yeah.
I did not agree with that. Dallin Berry, that's a good pickup, but they need like a center that can score and play defense, not just play defense. Yeah. They have like mainly 2 scorers on that team. Everybody else is like role players. They play their role really well. And that's good if you have at least two superstars. Mm-hmm. Like, you see it works with Miami, it works with Indiana. But you have to have another star with Dirk, mm-hmm. not just another scorer. You need a star like a Dwight or somebody that can help Dirk out, because Dirk is still doing most of the work by himself.
Right.
All right, well, let's do one more basketball thing, actually. I lied. Let's talk about the basketball games tonight. We've got men and women taking on Cameron in Lawton, Oklahoma. The tip-off times for that is 6 p.m. for the women and 8 p.m. for the men. Real quick, just give us a pick for those games.
I got the men winning.
I think the men is
going to win because I like the chemistry. Mm-hmm. I like how they come together as a team. The only reason why I say the women might not win is, like I said last show, the shooting still hasn't improved, and that's the only flaw for the women. Everything else is pretty decent. They can rebound pretty well. They're very fast. They can defend. But their shooting percentages are still one of the lowest in the LSC.
Yeah.
And you can't win games with low field goal percentage. You're not going to win games because these teams are too good defensively. And if you can't shoot the ball in basketball, you cannot win anyway because you have to score. So I think the women, it'll be close, but I still think the women will lose to Cameron because I just don't see them shooting the ball that well. But the men, we've been playing pretty good lately. Mm-hmm. And our big men's been playing well. The defense has stepped up. Turnovers could be limited, but other than that, the men look very, very solid. And they actually, are they better than last year in the conference at this time?
I wouldn't know better than last year with the conference schedule, but the overall schedule is definitely better.
They've kind of struggled in conference. Mm-hmm. But I think both the men and women will get a win tonight, and I think they're both desperate to get another conference win and fight for that seeding for the LSC tournament. So I think both the men and women get a win tonight.
All right. Well, right now, you mentioned seeding. Right now, Commerce is in the eighth seed, so they will make it. And Cameron, if the standings stay the way they are right now up until the playoffs, Cameron would not make it in the women's side because they are 0-2. Even though they have a better overall record, they're 8-4 compared to Commerce women's just 2-11. On the men's side, both Commerce and Cameron would make it. Cameron is 2-0 in conference and 8-5 overall, and A&M Commerce is 1-2 in the conference and 12-3 overall. So I think it could go either way for the women tonight, and I do agree with you guys that the men will win tonight. I think they can do it. Just a little quick thing. A&M Commerce is 5-1 at home and 3-2 away. They are traveling to Lawton, Oklahoma tonight, where Cameron is 5-2 at home. So we'll be very interested to see the results of that game. The other games that are coming up this week on it's next week. Next Wednesday is women's basketball and men's basketball, both doubleheaders against Eastern New Mexico in Portales, New Mexico. So what's your picks on those games?
Traveling to New Mexico,
mm-hmm.
I still think the both team, if they can win in Cameron tonight, if both teams can win in Cameron tonight, I think that sparks some energy in them, mm-hmm. and I believe they can go to New Mexico and win. I mean, on the women's side, the women beat New Mexico last year twice, so I feel like they can beat them again this year. And on the men's side, the men always have handled Eastern New Mexico pretty well,
yeah.
So I think that'll be another win, and I think that win will be a start, actually. I think the men can be top three seed this year.
Right.
And with the talent and depth they have. And if the women make the playoffs, I think they can actually make noise. They beat Tarleton last year, and they showed that they could compete. I never said they couldn't compete, but the shooting needs to increase. It needs to go up. If that goes up and the turnovers go down, the women, this record could easily be 11-2.
Mm-hmm.
So. I definitely agree. I think both will win at Eastern New Mexico. I think the women have, even though the record may not be as what we want, I think that they've been competing in most every game,
mm-hmm.
losing last-second shots, and I think that that'll eventually turn around this season. And like you said, the men have been playing extremely well. I think they're going to continue to roll, so I think both teams can get a win at Eastern New Mexico next week.
All right. Well, one last thing to talk about before we sign off for the day. The Super Bowl's coming up this Sunday. Next Sunday. We got the AFC and the NFC championships this Sunday. Who do you guys have in the championship games and then in the big one in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I've got the Broncos and the 49ers, and then the Broncos eventually win in the Super Bowl.
Okay. So. How about you, Jordan?
I believe in Seattle this year.
Okay.
I believe that they will. Their game against San Francisco will be the most physical game known to mankind.
Very dirty, probably.
Both teams hate each other, and both coaches hate each other. So that's going to be a good game, but I think just because Seattle's at home, Seattle's going to pull it out because they can't be beat at home.
They messed up New Orleans pretty bad.
They really did. They really did, and the crowd really helps them out. So I think they're going to win. And in the AFC, I just cannot go against Tom. I just can't do it. Every time I have, I've been looking stupid.
So exact opposite of Jacob.
Exact opposite of him. But I think, like I said, Tom is going to come out on top. I think he's going to win the Super Bowl. It's just I cannot go against Bill and Tom. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, I'm going to split you guys. I'm going to go with the Seahawks, and I'm going to go with the Broncos. I can't go against Peyton Manning. I respect Tom Brady. I think he's ridiculous, but I think Peyton's going to win this game.
He needs to.
Yeah.
And Peyton's been owned by Tom.
All right. Well, you didn't give your Super Bowl pick. Who's your Super Bowl winner?
I picked the Patriots to win.
Patriots beat the Seahawks?
I just feel like they always have a way to beat teams even when they're supposed to lose. They have a running game now, so it's even harder to stop them.
Right.
And if Gronk comes back, which they say he might, if he comes back, it's completely over.
All right. Well, if the Broncos play the Seahawks, which is what my Super Bowl is, I have the Seahawks winning. All right.
They're too physical for Peyton.
All right. Well, that'll do it for us this week on KETR's Locker Room. Be sure to go on our podcast. It can be found either on KETR.org or you can go to iTunes and just type in our name of the podcast, KETR's Locker Room, and then hit subscribe when it pulls up on the iTunes store, and you'll get these new episodes automatically. You don't have to check it. You don't have to go back and refresh it, anything. It just does it automatically. Anyway, I'm Cooper Welch.
I'm Jordan Davis.
I'm Jacob Walker.
And we'll see you guys next week. This is KETR's Locker Room.